But man, it is a joy to be with you guys. It's been quite a while. And just to note, the name of my preach or the title of my preach should be, How Well Do You Know God? How well do you know God? And reason why is recently as a congregation with Mosoba AM where I'm at is we took the month of June, which is like 2 months ago already. And we read through the book of Acts together. And it was a great time, and just every day we took a chapter, and as a whole church, we went through the book of Acts. I see all my guys are nodding their heads, which is a great sign. And man, it was good for us as a church just to go through some scripture together, be on the same page with what God is doing. And in Acts 4, and this is one of my favorite portions, but it says in Acts 4:13, it says here, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. All right, look at the person next to you and say, you're unschooled and ordinary. I'm joking, that's a bad encouragement. That's not the point of the story. But I wanna tell you, all of you are so special. Just as much as the person right next to you. You're all special in God's eyes. I'm going so far off the point here. That's not the point. The point is not who you are, it's who you've been with. Are you full of the one? That they didn't just recognize Peter and John, they recognize it's actually who he's been with. That he's been with the Son of God. And reason why is I actually think some of it might gel together here more, but there was an absolute devotion and great faith that came out of guys like Peter and John. It was more than just head knowledge. It was more than religion. It was more than singing songs. All right. It was more than the actions. There was a faith in them, and there was power to what they were doing. And the reason why I feel to ask the question for us is, how well do we know God? It's Daniel 11:32, the second portion of this. It says, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. The NIV said like this, that the people who know their God shall do great exploits. And there's this picture that we see all throughout Bible, where the Bible speaks about there will be wind and waves coming and all sorts of stuff coming that will bash against your house. And over and over and over in Scripture, God instructs us. He says, make sure that you stand firm. Make sure that you're grounded. Make sure that your house is built in the rock. Make sure that that you're stable. All right, because the wind and the waves are coming. They will come. Some of you might be in it now, but the people who know their God will stand firm and take action. And it's interesting, I'm just going through my notes here now, but I said there's a difference between believing in God and believing God. All right. I was prophetic for my own notes. I like that. But it's true, man. Doesn't help us just believing in God. It's like, do you know Him? Do you walk with Him? Do you know? This is also what I say to guys. Do you know who it is that you call to in prayer? When you pray, that is not to just some thing floating around out there. It's God. It's a person, the person of the Spirit, the one who is mighty to save, able to do all things. It's like, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, who can change things like this in a moment. That's the one we reach to. And he's the one that we say, that we call to. He says, like, you know, if you that are terrible parents know that when your kid asks you for something, you're not going to give him a snake, how much more when you ask me for the Spirit, do I want to pour it out upon you? He says, I want to when you reach with faith, that I want to give it to you. But sometimes it's, and Ephesians says this, Ephesians says this, but like there's some who are unstable. And it says this is James. It says, you double-minded person. It says, you ask, but you doubt. And you reach, but you don't know who you're reaching to. And it says, like, that double-minded person must not expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord. And terrible. It's like just, you ask, but you don't really know who you're asking. It says, come to the one who we know. And so I want to look at some of the nature of God tonight. And we're gonna do this in 1 John, the book of 1 John. And so John, obviously is known in the beginning as, John and James are known as the sons of thunder, all right, who wanted to burn everyone in a moment when they didn't recognize who Jesus was, huh? Okay, this is the sometimes hypocritical side of us, you know. It's like, look at these people, they don't receive you, Jesus. Let's just call fire from heaven and cook them all in a moment, you know. And Jesus says, no, we're not going to do that. And by the end of John's life, he's rather known as the disciple of love. What a turnaround. And I love that. I think what happened with John is like he discovered the nature of Jesus. He discovered the nature of God, who he is. You know, he's not just, yeah, anyway. All right, so let's read 1 John 1, 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, and which we have looked at, and our hands have touched him. This we proclaim to you, the word of life. He says, we're not telling you some theory here, some new idea, some whatever. We've seen him. We've heard him. We've touched him. John could have probably put it in there. I've put my head on his chest. I loved him. And it says, this is the one we're proclaiming to you, and he's known as the word of life. And so John is writing this gospel, this letter of 1 John. He's writing to a group of believers who claim to know God, but in their church, they've also got a bunch of false believers. And so on the outward, they look like the real deal, but they're actually false Christians. And they were spreading false doctrine and teaching, and they were putting burdens on people which the Lord wasn't placing on them. And you see over and over how Paul and James and the guys are wrestling with the guys, because you see this tension in Scripture where just as soon as there's a bit of life coming to church, you get the, they were even called this, the circumcision party. All right? It's like, that was just borderline from hell, okay? So I'm talking, and it's like, these guys, as soon as God said, I've set you free, these guys just said, you must be circumcised. You guys read the Bible like this? Anyway, I mean, and just as soon as there's some movement going, you get these Pharisees coming, it's like, yeah, now you're including the Gentiles, but this is actually, and they put burdens on people. And then Paul actually writes, you know, and he says, these guys are putting burdens on you, which they themselves don't even carry. It's all outside. It's all fluff. And they don't know me. And so John's writing this to them. And he basically says, you know, that we will be known by our fruit. It's not just what we're doing, but it's their life. Can you see the evidence of God in what you're doing, not just doing the right actions? That's what he's after, you know. And so 1 John really is the tension where John is, it's so interesting because I forgot how much of detail I've put in here, but it's like, I think this is what God wants to do with us tonight. Is he wants to take us from religion into relationship. That's what he's after. He's, as you read through 1 John, he constantly says, you're doing that, and some of it is good, but where does it come from? Why do you do it? Is there faith in what you do? Is it working out in a walking with God, not just mere action? That's what he's after. And so 1 John 1, verse 6, he says this, you know, if we claim to have fellowship with him. So did you know we can do that? So we can claim to have fellowship with God. Say, oh, I know him. I got saved. I walk with him. We can claim to know him. But we walk in darkness. We lie. And we do not live out the truth. How's that? That's a bombshell to start your message with. This is, can you imagine them reading this thing to the church? And then 1 John 2, verse 4, he says, whoever says I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. This is really going for this thing. It's like, don't only say that you know him, but do you walk with him? Do you know him? Is there a real relationship with him? And are you hiding in him and abiding in him? And so what I want to do tonight is I want to look at three aspects of who God is that I feel actually, and some of it is so simple. It's really the basic, this is for me, basic foundation, Christianity 101. But sometimes we get sidetracked with all the fluff, and we actually lose sight of God. And I think then the devil can get in there, and he actually holds you hostage. And we're going through this pity party of nobody likes me, everybody hates me. I need to say it. I'm going to eat some worms. It's a, you guys are not laughing tonight. It's like, I need to sharpen up my jokes here, okay? And I feel that God wants to draw us back into who He is, into His nature. And the first one is this, is that God is love. And I know that all of us could probably say it. I know that we believe it. I know that we've heard it. But 1 John 4, he says, is whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's one of the only portions in the Bible where it's actually referred to God as God is love. It's like the whole Bible describes the nature of God, but this is one of the only portions where it actually says God is love. And it's a story that I wanted to share with you about a boy named Paco. And he is a Spanish dude. And this is back in the, I've got the date here, in the 19, no, this is earlier. Somewhere, I don't have it on here. But it's before cell phones, before radio, before any of those things, before television. And Paco wanted to be a matador, which is, I think, those guys that play with the bulls, eh? Am I right? And it's a real Spanish thing. And his dad said, no, Paco, you can't be that. That's going to bring shame in our family. It's not the wise thing, okay? And they had a big fight. And Paco ended up moving away from his father. And he moved to Madrid. And many years later, his dad went looking for him. But, you know, Madrid is a big city. And it was like impossible to find. It's, where do you start? He was trying to find him all over. So after 5 months of searching, he ended up placing an ad in the newspaper. And the ad said this. It says, Paco, it's your father. I love you and I forgive you. And I'll be at the restaurant in this corner on Tuesday at 2:00. Meet me there. I love you. And on that Tuesday, 800 Pacos showed up looking for love and forgiveness from their father. And it's funny and it's sad. Is at 800 Paco showed up in the hope of finding forgiveness and love from their fathers. You know, it's a picture for us that we are people that is made for love. And that the source of this love is found in God alone. And I, you know, I wonder, I'm just trying to also, while I'm preaching, to try and discern what God wants to do with us, you know. But I wonder how many times we've said these words. It's like, how do I know that God loves me? How do I know that, you know, we wrestle with it because we don't always feel like, yes, I feel so loved by God every time I come close to Him. There are times where we go through dry seasons. And yet, the source of who, it's Him. That's the source of that thing. And you were made for it. All of us were made for love and forgiveness with the Father. You too are one of the Pacos that actually, when you find the ad, it's wanting to look for it. Wanting to look for affirmation and love in a Father. And you know that God has put out an advertisement to the world by sending Jesus to die on a cross and say, this is your Father. I love you and I forgive you. Would you come? He's put out an advertisement to the whole world to say, it's through the cross, to say, come. To find love and forgiveness. And you know, if you want to know how much God loves you, I just want to remind us to look at the cross. It's a while ago, but the one night I felt actually encouraged to watch Passion of the Christ again. I don't know who of you have watched that recently. I couldn't finish it. Not just for the graphic violence, but I had such a moment with God for the absolute horror that it was my sin that put Him there. And that in that moment, Passion of the Christ, I want to say is, even though I think they did a good job at depicting some of the violence, it's a fraction of what He went through for us. They couldn't encapsulate in that the false accusation, the unfairness of the scenario, that how everyone mistreated Him. He did nothing wrong, and He took it. It's God putting out an advertisement to you to say, remember that how much I love you. And then He says this, you know, 1 John 4 verse 10, He says, this is love, not that we love God, but that He first loved us. And He sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And you know, if you really want to know what's the difference between religion and Christianity, or religion and relationship with God, is it religion is man trying to get the attention of God through our good works. This is us, religion coming on and not that I think this is what we did tonight, but it can so easily be coming on a Sunday night and jumping higher because somehow God can't hear me. Or shouting a little bit louder because, you know, it's like it's trying to work something up to get the attention of God. Trying to live a good life when we go out from here to try and get the attention of God. But Christianity is this, that God actually reaches down to us because we could never reach that high. It's understanding that we can only love Him because He first loved us. The love of God, I love it. It's, for me, one of the most simple songs is this, is that He found me. You know, I once was lost, but now I'm found. It wasn't like, even I'm trying to share this when I share my testimony. It's like I'm trying to not to use the words that I found God. It's like, it's really like, that's only when I woke up. He actually found me. He came looking for me because His nature is to love us. And, you know, Romans 5 speaks about this. It says that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. It says, and hope doesn't disappoint, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. I think as maybe just verse 6. Can you find verse 6 there? It says, it's given us the Spirit as a guarantee. I think it's just the scripture. Sorry, I'm messing with you. Otherwise, you guys must just trust me, but I think I'm wrong. That's why I want to make sure. Yeah. Let me get it here. Romans 5, verse 6. Here we go. For while you're still weak, at the right time, Christ died for ungodly. No, wrong scripture. That's me. Yeah. But there's a scripture that says that Christ has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee to come and make His home in us. So it's He poured out His love into our hearts. And I, you know, something that I think we could trust God for is, again, is some, like, I would say frequently, we need a baptism of love by the Spirit, that God would pour out His love into our hearts, that there will be an importation of God Himself into us. Because without that, it just turns into religion so quickly. It turns into man's works if we forget the love of God. Amen. You guys still awake? You know, Logan was bragging about his kid earlier, and I want to brag about mine as well. But I've got two little girls. We've had a long day and church this morning and kids' birthday parties afternoon. So my wife said, like, please excuse us tonight. She's going to get they're probably dosing already. But, you know, one thing I love about Lisa especially, she's the older one, and she's 3 and a half now. And she's a real daddy's girl, okay? And I love it. And one thing that I try and do is I try and deposit love into that little heart, you know? And there's times when we'd be at home and I sometimes call, I say, Lisa, I love you. And then she would be looking at me while she's talking, bam, straight into something. And she like locks eyes, like you could check, she just like zones in, like a whole world exists out of me telling her how much I love her. And then we read this little storybook, and it's this, anyway, I'm not going to explain the whole storybook, but then the point is like this, dad rabbit and the baby rabbit, they keep telling one another how much they love one another, and in the end it's like, I love you to the moon and back, you know, and then the other one says, but I love you to the moon and back twice, and all this stuff, and so sometimes when I put her in bed, I say, Lisa, I love you to the moon and back 5 times, it's just like, wow, that's a lot, I just try and deposit love into her heart from a dad as much as I can. And you know what? Like, even though she's at the terrible 3 stage, like when she knows that I love her, she does make it her aim to obey. Not because I'm gonna discipline her in some way, but because she loves me, and because I love her. Anyway, that was just a freebie. I love my kids. And, you know, Martin Lloyd-Jones, who's an author, he said this, the highest assurance of your salvation is the infilling of the Holy Spirit and giving us a witness of the love of God. It's like, I want to ask you, friends, do you have a witness of the love of God? Have you been filled with the Spirit, actually, that there's a witness in your heart that I am loved by God? It is more than theory. It's more than what we read. It's more than what you've heard Steve's revelation is or Stefan's revelation. It is a guarantee in your soul that God loves me. He says, I'm giving you the Spirit. And then there's a test here for you too, whether you know God as love. All right, 1 John 3, verse 4. It says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Anyone who does not love remains in death. So now he says, if you want to know whether you genuinely love God, this is the test for you. Is can you love the brothers? Can you love the church? Can you extend more than just a friendly face on a Sunday? Is there love coming from you, reaching to those you would never have anything to associate with? Then you know you've been filled with the Spirit. You've been filled with the love of God. This is how you know that you know God, is when love goes from us to one another. And I just want to encourage you, Christians can be some of the hardest people to love. Amen? Don't agree too loud if you're sitting next to the person. But it's true. My mom always used to say this to me. It's like, it's sometimes easier to love a complete stranger than to love family. And it's so true. Because you can't pick the family. You were just born into that thing. And so, and church is described as a family. You can't pick it. This guy also just arrived here, you know. And we're born together. And God says, now love one another. And love is more than bearing with one another. There's action to it, okay? And we're not going to go deep into that tonight, all right? But the second point which John writes about is that God is light. And, you know, I think sometimes when you only preach that God is love, we can get a lopsided view of who God is, because then we're just like, well, now I can just do whatever you want. Well, you know, God loved me even before I did anything He died for me, so who cares what I do now? And you get that theory is coming through. And it's a lopsided perspective of who God is. And so John writes, he says, but God is also light. And 1 John 1 verse 5, he says, this is a message that we've heard from Him and declare to you that God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. And really, we, as Mosul by AM, God has actually been working with us over weeks. That He's been drawing us, and His light has been coming. Sometimes it's like we can get away with stuff for years, and suddenly it's like God takes a light and He shines it on something. He says, "Now it's time for us to deal with that." And it's like the light of God coming to your heart. And some of the stuff you knew was there, sometimes you didn't even know it was there. But when God comes in, you're like, "Oh my goodness." It's like, how can I come close to a holy God with this? That's the light of God coming. Psalm 104, David writes and he says, praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great, and you are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps Himself in light as with a garment. How's that? So David is saying here, the clothes that God is wearing is light. Nobody's excited about that. All right. It's like, I want you to see this picture that the God we're coming to, if you're going to have a glimpse of the vision of God and you would see what He's wearing, it would be light. It would be a garment of absolute radiance, light. And it's a depiction of His glory that is actually, you know, that it's what He wears. It's bright light. 1 Timothy 6:16, it says, who alone is immortal? And who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to Him be honor and might forever. He's talking about God here. He's saying this God is like, he's clothed in splendor and glory and light. And that there's no darkness near Him. And He's speaking about the glory, the purity and the holiness of God. It says that there's no deceit in God. Don't you love that about our God? Like, I love when I read Scripture. God made no secrets about the trials that you're going to experience. He made it very clear. He says, follow me. First thing you're going to do is you're going to pick up a cross. Come after me. It's interesting. As I'm scanning through quite a bit of the Bible at the moment. But God, a lot of times, rebukes rich people. And he says, be careful. He says, like, watch out. Like, there's a narrow door for you, rich man. It's like, and he actually says, it's better sometimes for you to be poor. He actually says, celebrate when you don't have much in this world. Yeah, he said, and you know what God does? He says, because I want your dependence to be on me, not on your money. He trains us. And I'm so far off my notes with this. But it's basically, the point is that God made no secret about what we're going to face in this world. The point is, like, sometimes, like, we should, I think, settle. God, if I have very little, it's actually that this time, is these times, is that your grace will abound and there will be much favor. All right. I think the light that God clothes himself in is that everything that he does is good and right and just. It's never wrong, never unfair, never biased. It's always just and good who he is. He's not sneaky with us. And then he says in 1 John 1, 7, he says, but if we would walk in the light as he is in the light. So now it's giving us example, not just what you think is good enough to share in front of others. But he says, as that light of God shines in your heart, he says, as you would walk in that. He says, now the joy, this is how you can know that this is the test for do you know God as light. Is do you have true fellowship with one another? And even today, just I had someone come to me and says, like, we just feel so unloved in this church. We feel that nobody loves us, nobody likes us. I'm going to eat some worms, you know. It's like, and there's like this, there's no real fellowship. And I said to them, honest, I said, like, I'm genuinely so sorry that you feel this way, but I'm very surprised because I'm hearing so much of the opposite of what you're saying at the moment. There's so many people saying that we feel so loved and so welcomed and so accepted and so valued. So what's missing here? It's actually sin. It's darkness that guards our hearts. And there's no true fellowship with one another. So now there's a form of godliness. We're trying to play this church thing. But there's just no reality to any friendships. And it's easy for us to go, this whole church has got an issue. It's all of them. Man. We do that. You know, we're laughing, but we do that, man. And actually sometimes when the light of God comes, he says, if you just walk in my light, your reward is true fellowship with one another. And so here's a test for you, friends. I want to say, if you feel, and I'm not saying this is always the case. There are times where really, I think always as a church, we can sharpen up on loving one another better, including one another better. But if there's a case for you where you genuinely have been here for a while and you feel alone and not loved, and it's like nobody knows you, I want to ask you the question, are you walking in the light of God? Are you confessing your sins to one another so that you may be healed? Are you bearing your heart? Are you loving as Christ loves? And I want to say, give that time to penetrate into your heart and you'll see what happens. You'll see what happens. It's the nature of God. Is there any agreement in that? It's not easy to digest, but it's true. I can tell you that. And then thirdly, and I'm going to land with this, is John writes that God is life. So we had God is love, God is light, and God is life. So three things he touches on here. And 1 John 5, verse 11, he says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, but whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. You know, true life, I don't know, sometimes when I have too much time on my hands, which is not very often these days, but when I think too deep and you get to this point, what even is the meaning of life? You know, why am I here? Any of you ever get there? Who's the deep thinkers here? No deep thinkers, Ruben Vosier. I'm joking. It's the only deep thinker I know around here. I'm teasing. But it's like, who of you have ever thought about it? It's like, yes, what am I even doing here? If God so badly wanted me with him, why didn't he just take me then? Now I'm putting thoughts in your head here that you're going to wrestle with. You know, it is, yes, he wants you with him forever. But what is the point of being here? You know, these are the things we're wrestling with. And it's like, I want to say the point of being here is to discover the Son. It's to know him and to make him known. And to have this lesson that you must increase and he must increase. You must decrease, he must increase. Bad theology. You must decrease and God must increase. You must decrease, God must increase. That's John 10, 10, I think. John 10, 10 says that God must increase and I must decrease. That's why we're here, is to discover the Son, to discover God, to love Him with all of our hearts, and to with what we have here. I want to, and I can land with this, is I want to say, friends on earth, you have certain things that you can do now that you'll never be able to do in heaven. All right. One of those things is you in heaven, you can never ever tell someone about God again. It's too late. Abram, the rich man, some of you know this story, and he begged Abram to come back and just to give him a drop of water, and God said, time's gone now. It's you can never tell people about God. And you know what else you can't do when you're in heaven? You can never choose to worship Him. But now you can choose. In heaven, it says in Revelation that as we see Him, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And everyone will say that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're not going to have a choice on that day. You're going to see and you are going to bow. That's when I think Psalm comes through, is you'll be still and you will know that He's God. Okay? It's like, as you see Him, you're not going to think, oh, I don't really feel like it today. I've had a long day. You'll be still and know that He's God. Okay? You'll bow down. And in heaven, it says for eternity, we're going to worship, you know, and we're also going to work. So there's some of that theology in there as well. But we're going to worship. And every time you see the throne, you're going to worship. You're never going to say, nah, long day in heaven. I don't feel like it. There'll be another one tomorrow, you know. It's you all going to do it. But friends, today, you've got a choice. You've got a choice to say, even though it feels like I'm going through the valley of death, I'll lift up my voice to Him. And I'll love Him. I'll tell the world of His goodness and His greatness. And there's something else like there's a choosing and finding life in the Son of God, not in our circumstances. Knowing that God is life. And so bringing it to you guys, are you guys all right tonight? It feels like it's going down a little bit difficult here. But sometimes, you know, it's good for us. Like we, especially if we've been in church for a long time. I grew up in church, you know. And I've read all the Bible stories. My parents have read it to me. I get through the Bible card, and we've been through that thing a couple of times, you know. I know the stories. And now that I've got small kids, as we started watching the Superbook, you know, I don't know, any parents out there? Okay, and it's like these 20-minute episodes of all the accounts of the Bible, you know. And we're reading it for Lisa again. Now suddenly you're reading about David and Goliath again and the Israelites in the desert and all that stuff. And it's pictures for us. It's something about the nature of God that He wants us to discover. As I'm doing that with her, it's like I'm impacted. It's like, this is who our God is. And sometimes we become so calloused. But the easiest question to ask for us is like, has God being love, which is like Christianity 101, really penetrated my whole being? Because can I love the brothers and the church? Has God being light really penetrated my whole being? Because I can say that I've got true fellowship with those around me. They know me and I know them. Has God being life filled my whole being? Because I know a day in His courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I found life with Him. And it's good for us as we have these tests of our hearts to ask this question, do I really know God? Do I know Him? Or do I know about Him? Do I walk with Him? Has who God is filled my whole being? And have I moved from religion to relationship with Him? That it's not about man trying to get the attention of God. It's that God has actually reached down to man, getting our attention and say, wake up to who I am. And so I want to pray for us tonight. And I'm trying to just discover what God is after with you guys as a church tonight. But sometimes it is just good for us as a church to say, it's not about what is the next thing on the block to do. And what is needed in church, and what is the next leadership thing for me to go after, and what's next? It's like, do I know Him? Do I walk with Him? Do who He is? Has it filled my whole being? And I'm bleeding God. And then when someone is with you, it's like, yes, He is pretty unschooled and ordinary, but somehow He's been with Him. He's been with Jesus. It has filled His whole being. I want us to close our eyes. And Lord, I thank You that we do not have to wonder tonight who it is that we come to. But we know that We love your nature, God. And we thank you that even you being love, life, light, it's God coming to find man. And you're coming to find our hearts tonight, Lord.